Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India-Japan bilateral relationship. The participants are Professor Rahul Mishra, International Affairs Expert, and Gaura Dhawanlal, Anchor.
Hello and welcome to our program. Prime Minister Narendra Modi today held summit-level talks with his Japanese counterpart, Shigeru Ishiba, with an aim to further expand overall bilateral ties, including in areas of trade, investment and emerging technologies. To shed some more light on the Prime Minister's visit to Japan, please join me in welcoming Professor Rahul Mishra from the Center of Indo-Pacific Studies at Jawaharlal Nehru University. Professor Mishra, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
So we'd like to actually begin, Professor Mishra, with the small bite we have of the Prime Minister. Prime Minister spoke about not only what the two countries can complement and supplement for each other, but also a goal of shared prosperity.
Milkar ek Japan ready workforce tayar kariye. A shared workforce will lead to shared prosperity. India and Japan's partnership is strategic and smart, powered by economic logic. We have turned shared interest into shared prosperity. India is the springboard for Japanese businesses to the global south. Together, we will shape Asian century for stability, growth and prosperity.
So how important is the Prime Minister's visit to Japan? Its timing, I mean, how well-timed is it, and why is it important?
Japan is amongst the two major powers with which India has such robust ties, the other being Russia, which is a long-standing defense and strategic partner of India. The relationship is important on a number of counts. These two countries are amongst the top five economies. Japan is a tech superpower. In many sectors, it is even ahead of the US and the rest of the West and has a lot of significance. In emerging and critical technologies, in terms of the use of AI and robotics, it is a leader. So on these fronts, Japan is a very important partner for India.
We also have some inputs. Foreign Secretary Mr. Vikram Misri has briefed the press about the Prime Minister's visit to Japan.
The Prime Minister arrived in Tokyo early this morning and received a very warm and festive welcome by the government and people of Japan, as well as the representatives of the Indian community here in Tokyo. The first engagement was in the afternoon, which was the India-Japan Economic Forum, which was attended jointly by Prime Minister Modi and Prime Minister Ishiba. Both of them addressed the captains of Indian and Japanese industry. This was followed by a few meetings between the Prime Minister and senior and leading political personalities of Japan. Former Prime Ministers Suga and Kishida called on the Prime Minister and discussed issues of mutual interest relating to the bilateral relationship and regional and global developments. This evening, the Prime Minister was received by Prime Minister Ishiba at Kanthe, and the two leaders spent nearly 2.5 hours together, during which they held delegation-level talks and witnessed the exchange of agreements and understandings between the two sides, addressed the press, and Prime Minister Ishiba then hosted a dinner for Prime Minister Modi.
As the Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri has mentioned, trust is one of the most important pillars of this relationship. And I emphasize on trust with a view that whatever is happening between India and the US, both India-Japan and India-Russia partnership are built on this element of trust. And that is why I think it is very important a visit for the Prime Minister and for these two countries. As regards the future, the vision for this relationship, I think Prime Minister in his statement mentioned that Japan is a tech power and India is a talent power. This demonstrates the complementarity that these two countries have and the vision that the leaders of these two countries have as to how to move forward in acquiring their respective rightful positions in the international system and not keeping another country as an opponent or as a target, but for their own shared growth and prosperity.
You spoke about tech power and talent power. Let's listen to what the Prime Minister said in his own words.
Japan tech पावरहाउस है और भारत एक टैलेंट पावरहाउस है. भारत ने एआई सेमीकंडक्टर, क्वांटम कंप्यूटिंग, बायोटेक और स्पेस में बोल्ड और एम्बिशियस इनिशिएटिव लिए हैं। जापान की टेक्नोलॉजी और भारत का टैलेंट मिलकर इस सदी के टेक रिवॉल्यूशन का नेतृत्व कर सकते हैं।
प्रोफेसर मिश्रा, do you think that now this coming together of I think the two government leaders to build something new, what is the opportunity that lies here for India? Because Japan is known as the center of quality and India actually has to walk a fair amount of distance to achieve that quality.
Absolutely. Choosing the right words is the part of the art of diplomacy. And I think what the Prime Minister did in his statement and during this visit, what all he's been saying is a subtle hint to the US and Trump's policies, which are erratic at the, if you want to put it in the most sober words. But also at the same time, it's important to also tell friends like Japan that things are no longer the same in India, that there is ease of doing business, that there is greater transparency, that agreements that are signed between two countries, the top leadership tries to see to it that they are implemented, so follow-up action. All of this was an attempt to touch the right chord with Japanese leadership, because Japan is a country that is known for its discipline, that is known for its righteousness, its value-based approach, even in economic engagements. And these are things that are expected from a rising power like India. I think Prime Minister's very well-crafted speech, well-thought-out speech, addresses these concerns, if there are any, in the Japanese leadership and the bureaucracy, and also would encourage them to do more in terms of engaging India, investing in India. And this is a right opportunity. Every challenge is a blessing in disguise. So what is happening between India and the US at this momentary though, but is a very good opportunity for India to get closer to established tech powers and economic powerhouses like Japan, Australia, New Zealand, and so many other Asian economies.
So you're saying that, you know, these are some muscles, whether it's of quality or value-based, ease of doing business, and our economy, the complete business ecosystem, can do with building this muscle. You see this as a great opportunity. And, you know, to cooperate with the best in the world for this is, I think, it would be a good ride if both countries can have good intent and take it forward. So when we talk of mutual agreement, and it always takes two to tango, so if you take this analogy further, what are some good areas that we can actually hit the ground running to start the tango?
Well, there are a number of areas. I think the Prime Minister himself mentioned this. India's talent pool, so services sector, is one where India and Japan could work together. There could be, instead of Indian engineers going to Silicon Valley and Indian doctors going to the West, to the Europe, they could explore opportunities in Japan. So India-Japan services sector cooperation is one possibility. Second, Indian startups, which have really dominated the industry in the US, could also think of diverting to Japan. And Japan is in need of more manpower. They have capacity shortfall when it comes to human resources. India has a lot of human resources, and that can be something that could work to the benefit of both the countries. In other sectors, other than startups and services, I think the tech sector, semiconductors, is one where India could be the warehouse with Japanese technology. And India's semiconductor mission, the semiconductor strategy, Prime Minister made a statement during his Independence Day speech that India is lagging behind other countries and we need to work very systematically and with discipline in making India a semiconductor hub. So I think that is a very important sector. There are other sectors also on which I think there is a need to reform. For example, our agriculture sector. That is one area where India-Japan trade is minimal, even lesser than Japan's trade with Vietnam and Cambodia. So I think that is one sector where we need to have systematic reforms and reach the international standards in agriculture and dairy and pharma. Japan would happily import from India. I think that is a virgin territory when it comes to bilateral cooperation and bilateral investments. I mean, India could perhaps consider inviting Japanese investments in the agriculture and dairy sector. That could be become a win-win situation for both these countries. I think industrial sector, a lot has been happening on infrastructure and heavy industry sector. But MSMEs is another opportunity for India. Perhaps there is a need to convince the Japanese investors more that MSME is the largest sector in India, and it needs a little bit of helping hand from our friends from Japan, and that could really help India and Japan build their economic partnership. For Japan, this is a good opportunity because they've been trying to shift away from China, and this has been happening since the COVID days. But their diverting of or shifting of industries to Malaysia, to Vietnam, Thailand has not been very beneficial because of the political climate in these countries. Malaysia has been facing increasing majoritarianism in the country. Thailand is going through a lot of political upheaval, and Cambodia is facing sanctions both from the European Union and the US. So I think this presents an opportunity for India to invite Japanese investors and Japanese companies to India, provided we up our game. We have to upscale our industrial capabilities and our overall ability to provide good platforms. And I think the intervention from the top leadership, from the Prime Minister and his office, is something that is required here.
Now, doing a little zoom out to see how other countries in the equation, particularly with reference to the Quad countries. So the upcoming Quad summit, it's going to be in India. Date is yet to be finalized. How do you see that? And how do you see the dynamics playing? How is the US going to participate? Is it going to be 3-1? Or because cornering a country or other countries coming in and being able to push another country into anything else, that never seems to work. So how do you think the dynamics will play out here?
Well, there are concerns regarding the future of Quad and the Quad summit and how Trump would take it, whether he'd come and join the summit and what kind of statements he'd make. But I think what is equally important is to understand that diplomacy is the art of finding the possible, finding common grounds. And India's relationship with both Japan and Australia is so strong, and shared concerns, mutual interest and shared concerns are also so strong that these two countries, that is Japan and Australia, will not let Quad slip to the margins. So I think that is very important. From India's side also, regardless of India-US tensions and Trump's erratic policies on these, you use the right term, punitive tariffs, I think the overall sense is that Quad must remain in place and Quad must play the role of a security provider in the Indo-Pacific, because there are challenges that transcend these bilateral differences that suddenly have crept in the India-US relationship. So I think Japan and Australia most likely will play the role of peacemakers in this partnership, at least at the minilateral front involving four countries. And the signals are very clear now. Penny Wong, the Australian Foreign Minister, made a statement on this, very vocal and very assertive, I would say. The Japanese side is also echoing the same message that whatever is happening with India right now is not really in good taste diplomatically and in economic terms. You cannot be doing this to a friend and then expect that friend to keep quiet. Right, so it's a two-way traffic. Friendship, just like business transactions, is a two-way traffic, and Trump must understand that with friends like India, he has to understand and keep in mind its sensitivities and concerns and the trust that India has put over past 2+ decades in building ties with America. So if Trump is going to behave the way he is right now with Japan, Australia, and more importantly with India, there will be consequences, and those consequences will not be, of course, not strategic in nature, but that will corrode the partnership that has been built over a period of time so very carefully by Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, followed by Obama and Trump himself during his first term, and Biden. So I think the Trump administration, if I can be so bold to say this, has to get back to its senses and understand that international system has got some powers, including the US, but also India, Japan, and Australia, to play a responsible role in making sure that the rules-based order remains intact. And this collective responsibility cannot be sidestepped just because you've got tariff issues with India.
Right. And I think it's not a unipolar or a bipolar world anymore. It's a multipolar world. Countries will cooperate, and every country should have its say. Professor Mishra, thank you so much for joining us on our program.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India-Japan bilateral relationship. The participants were Professor Rahul Mishra, international affairs expert, and Gaura Dhawanlal, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 928-909-4044.
Spotlight.